James 5, verse 16. It says, when a believing person prays, great things happen. Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. I really just want to ask you a question this morning. And the question is this, is what do you do when you pray and the answer hasn't come yet? What do you do when you pray and the answer hasn't come? Can anybody relate this morning? Unanswered prayers. I think probably a lot of us are there today. What do you do when you've really sought after God and read the Word and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and the answer hasn't come yet? What do you do after a day, like 24 hours? I think a lot of people are like, you know what, I'm done praying. It didn't work, it didn't happen, so I'm done. It's kind of comparable to like exercising and eating, getting healthy. You know, we eat a salad for a couple days, like, well, I don't have a six pack yet, so obviously it's not working, so I'm quitting. It's like we give up. Didn't work, I tried it, I prayed, God didn't do anything. What do you do after you pray for like a week and maybe a month, maybe a year, or just a really, really long time? What do you do when the answer hasn't come yet? A lot of us may have a promise, and there's many promises in the Word today, and the promises are yes and amen, but God may have a promise for our life, but we haven't seen maybe that manifestation of that promise yet. And so there's this internal conflict over an external circumstance. It's not lining up with an internal reality. Yeah. And the greater the distance between your promise and the manifestation of that promise is, the greater the arena for disappointment, frustration, and discouragement, and you get in hopelessness and kind of despair. Is anybody there? Can anybody relate today? You've been in that place. It's like it seems the promise is far off and God has spoke this to me, but now I'm in this arena where maybe my heart, I'm kind of losing hope and I'm in despair and discouraged and disappointed. I've been there. Have you ever prayed and lost hope? I've been serving God for many years now. Like, I really gave my heart to Jesus when I was 7. I remember the altar. They had a little altar call that day, and I gave my heart to Jesus, but I had to rededicate when I was 17. Like a lot of us, wasn't truly living the way I should have been. But I've been serving God all these years, and I've prayed many prayers, and I've seen God answer prayers in my life. I've seen God do the miraculous. I've seen God part the seas in my life, make a way in my life where He's done miracles. He's delivered me of things and healed me of things and set me free of things over and over. I've seen His faithfulness over and over again in my life. But there have been times in my life where I prayed things and things didn't end up the way I thought they were going to end up. Or they didn't pan out the way I thought they were going to pan out. And there's some things I'm still contending for today that have not manifested in the natural. But I've seen God move. I've seen God answer. But there's been some things that haven't panned out the way I thought they'd pan out or end up the way I thought they'd end up. But after all these years, my conviction is this. I truly still believe that prayer still works. Prayer still works. It works whether I feel it or I don't feel it. It works whether I see it or I don't see it. It works whether I've got the answer, and it still works when the answer is still far off. Prayer still works. And God is masterful in answering our prayers. And through the process, He works in us before He does something through us. He's often shaping us for the answer before it comes. Say that. I've heard Bill Johnson say that maybe the delay to prayers, unanswered prayer, that your prayers are gaining interest. They're gaining interest. It's like, the answer's on the way. It's just gaining interest. It's going to be better when God brings that manifested into your life. Prayer still works. And the Bible talks about that prayer is like your most potent weapon against the enemy. Like if you come under attack, maybe financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically, your most potent weapon against the enemy is your prayer life. That's where the battle rages. It's in the unseen, not in the seen, but in the unseen is where we battle and there's warfare. So the place of my victory is going to come through the place of my prayer life. Yes. So if I was your enemy, I was your adversary, what I would try to do is rob you of your confidence of your prayer life. Yeah. Make you think it doesn't work, that God doesn't hear you, that God doesn't really love you. Why are you even praying? Just give up. It's not going to happen. I want to rob you of your confidence in God and your belief and trust in Him. If I was your adversary, that's what I would try to do, to try to make you as ineffective as possible, to make you just become just a church attender, being content with the way that life is. And this is just my lot in life. This is the cards I've been dealt. But I'm telling you this morning, your prayers are powerful and effective. You have the ability to reverse and change circumstances in your life. When you begin to pray and you invite God of the universe into the affairs of your life, He begins to step in and show up with His power and His ability and His capability. Things begin to change when God shows up on the scene. He does things you never dreamed possible or could ever imagine when He steps into your life. Prayers are powerful. They're effective. It's a weapon against the enemy. And as believers, we're called to a lifestyle of prayer. You know, often we go from crisis to crisis with prayer in between. It's normally what we do. We pray just when we're in trouble. But Jesus did it differently. He went from prayer meeting to prayer meeting and dealt with crisis in between. Jesus did it differently. He had this lifestyle of prayer. He'd get away with the Father, get away from the crowds, get away from the people, to spend time with His Father in prayer. And it wasn't about what He could get, but what is heaven doing today? And I've got to align myself with heaven in this moment. Jesus would get alone and get away with the Father and begin to pray. And if Jesus did that, where does that leave us? How much more do we need to pray and say, you know what, I need to align myself with heaven today. What is heaven doing? It's not what I can get, but I'm aligning myself with what God wants to do in my life for this day. How much more do we need to pray and have an active prayer life? When Jesus was teaching the disciples about prayer, they asked Him, teach us how to pray. And the first thing He said is, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. So there's this expectation that us as believers and followers of Jesus, that we're going to have an active prayer life as we're following Jesus. And in Luke 18, there's a parable of the unjust judge. And I'm going to get in that here in a minute. But at the beginning, Jesus is teaching about prayer. And one of the things He's teaching on is He's saying this. He says, we should pray always, never stop praying, and we should never lose hope. Always pray and never lose hope. I mean, do we pray always? I don't know. Some of us are like, I haven't prayed in 2 weeks. What does it mean to pray always? 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean I just get on the altar and I never get back up from that again? I just lay here the rest of my life? I go to my prayer closet and I just stay there the rest of my life? That's where I'm at. I'm just telling you right now, everybody else is coming out of the closet, so we as believers need to come out of the closet too in a good way. I'm just saying, it's time for us to come out, be the sons and daughters of God in this world, showing the power of God. Is that what it means? Pray without ceasing. No, really, prayer moves beyond posture. And some people think they can only pray with their head bowed and their eyes closed. I remember my grandpa used to pray in King James Version. I was like, grandpa being to pray, I'm like, Grandpa, that's not normally how you talk. This is weird for me. But prayer moves beyond posture. Some people think they can only pray with their head bowed, their eyes closed, and there is a time for that. There's times where I stop my day, and you know what? God, I'm going to take this moment to honor You, to worship You, because You're so good. I understand that all of heaven is worshiping You right now. All the angels are worshiping You right now. They can't even look upon You because of Your glory. I'm going to take this moment and thank You and honor You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness and Your grace. Sometimes I stop and do that. Sometimes I look down because I got to remind myself that the Holy Spirit is taking residence on the inside of me. Like He's not far off, but He's within me. The kingdom is within me. He's not distant, but He is as far as I am. He's on the inside. He's taking residence on the inside of me. The kingdom is on the inside of me. That's an amazing thought. He's with me and in me. Sometimes when I pray with my eyes open, particularly when I drive. A lot of people, I don't know if you're driving by faith. Thank you, Jesus. They put those bumper strips on the side. You know, you're praying like, oh, got to get over. Pray with my eyes open sometimes. You know, it is kind of awkward if I came up to you and started talking to you with my eyes closed. Like, hey, I can't see you today. Good to hear you. God's like, hey, open your eyes. I want you to see this. You're going to miss the manifestation of the miracle. in your life. Some things you've got to see. Keep your eyes open. Sometimes I look up and I pray because it's where the Bible says our help comes from. Look to the mountain, the hills, to where your help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Prayer moves beyond posture and prayer moves beyond place. Some people, the only time they pray is on Sunday morning at church. And that's a good time to pray. To pray together collectively or two or three gathered. That's where I will be. A lot of people just reduce it just to obligation, duty, and religion. It's not about relationship. It's a good place to start. But I'm telling you, if that's the only time you pray, you're going to have a hard time making it throughout the week. Yeah. It's going to be hard because you have an enemy. You have imperfect people in this world. Yeah. And we live in a fallen world. And I've got to pray every day. I've got to pray every day just to keep my head straight. I got to pray every day just to be a father and to be a husband and to love and to give grace. I've got to align myself with heaven every single day. Some people reduce prayer just to a day and a place. And it moves beyond that. It moves beyond time. Sometimes you're like, God, okay, it's 7:30. I'm going to give you this time right now. And 7:35, I'm going to go back to me time. And that's a good place to start. But it moves beyond that. Really what prayer is without ceasing is really bathing everything into prayer. It's taking everything I do before God and inviting heaven and all its resources into my life. Prayer is just communication with God. That's what we could say. It's this continuous conversation with Him. It's living in an atmosphere and awareness with communication with God. That's how Jesus lived, in this constant awareness and atmosphere of communication with God. It's a conversation that never ends. I never say amen because my conversation with God never ends. And Smith Wigglesworth, he said, I don't think I've prayed any longer than an hour, but I don't think I've gone an hour without praying. It's a continuous conversation we're having with God. And I want to get in that place where I'm just constantly communing with and talking with Him. And because God wants to talk to you. He wants to relate to you. He wants to share things with you. He wants to share His heart with you, the things that He has for you, His will for you. He wants to talk to you, but not only that, He wants you to talk to Him. Yeah. Share your heart with Him. But not only talk to Him, but listen as well. Right. Some people are like, I can't hear God. Well, have you taken time to listen? Yeah. A lot of times we come to God with our list. God, I need this, 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 and I need it done by Friday. I'll be back Friday, God, and hopefully you have it done. Never giving God time to listen to Him. But God's given us two ears and one mouth, so we'll listen twice as much as we speak. Taking time to listen. Like, I just get before God sometimes, and I'm like, God, I'm just here. I don't have anything to say, but my heart's unto You right now. My mind is open to You right now. God, I'm giving You this time. I'm eliminating distractions. I'm just coming to hear Your heart. Father, what are You saying? What's on Your heart today? Sometimes I got to get in that place, just listen. It's not only just talking, but it's active listening and in prayer. The Bible says to never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. And the second thing it says in Luke 18 that Jesus began to talk about was to never lose hope. Never lose hope. I'll be honest, there's been some times in my life and seasons I've lost hope. And if you don't grab a hold of that in your heart, the enemy will take you down a road of hopelessness if you're not careful. And I'll say this today, if you're not praying, and you're probably not in hope, because the absence of prayer is the best indicator that we're not hoping in God. Because prayer alone is an act of faith. You just think about it. We pray to God, we believe. There's an element of faith in prayer in and of itself. A lot of people come to God, we come because we believe, and we believe He's going to do it. We're hoping in God. So when we pray, we hope. And God, I'm hoping, and hope is a confident expectation. It's not wishy-washy. I just wish, you know, I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope this doesn't happen. It's not wishy-washy, but it's a confident expectation. It's not I hope so, but I know so. Like, I know today something good's going to happen. Today could be the day where God brings that manifestation of that promise in my life. Today could be the day where He shows up and there's a suddenly where God begins to move in my life and changes the course of my life forever. I know, and I'm looking. It's a confident expectation that today could be the day. I am praying in hope because I know it's coming. It's on its way. I can see it. I can feel it. I can hear it. And I'm going to stand on God's word. We're praying today. It's a good chance you're probably in hope. But if we moved into hopelessness, there's a good chance you might have stopped praying. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Never stop praying and to never lose hope. Even though I don't have the answer yet, I know God's moving. I know God's working. I know He's interested. He's attentive in my life right now. I know He's sending angels to minister on my behalf. I know God is listening to my prayers and the answer is on the way. And I'm going to stand on the word. I'm not going to be moved by what I feel or see, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said to always pray and to never lose hope. And he goes into this parable of the unjust judge. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. He's talking about prayer. In Luke 18, 1, it says, this one day Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. He shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a judge, a thick-skinned and godless man who had no fear of others' opinions. In the same town, there was a poor widow who kept pleading with the judge, "Grant me justice and protect me from my oppressor." He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking. Eventually, he said to himself, "This widow keeps annoying me, demanding her rights, and I'm tired of listening to her. Even though I'm not a religious man and I don't care about the opinions of others, I'll get her off my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor. Then she'll leave me alone." Jesus continued, "Did you hear what the godless judge said?" Then he would answer her persistent requests. "Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give you swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, in the same way as the widow. Even so, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of undying faith on the earth?" And Jesus is giving this parable. He's talking about there's this unjust judge who didn't love God or really care about the people. And there's this widow that came before the judge every single day, pleading her case, asking for protection. She was persistent. She didn't stop. And the judge was annoyed. He was bothered by her. You ever been annoyed or bothered by somebody? This was the judge. He's like, "Just take her away. Send her off. I don't want to see her face. I don't want to see you again." But she kept on coming back. He's like, "You know what? We're just going to give you what you want. Because I'm tired of seeing you. I'm tired of hearing from you. We're going to grant your wish. You're going to be off your merry way. And I don't want to see you again so I can be alone. So we're going to give you what you want." She was persistent. And sometimes we can interpret that God being that way, that we got to plead with God so much and give him our petitions and beg and plead and really try to twist God's arm or bend his will. So maybe if we bother him enough in prayer that he'll give us what we need. But Jesus is saying that God is not like this judge. He's not like that because your Father loves you and he cares for you and he knows what you need before you even speak it. And he wants you to boldly come before the throne of grace in your time of need. He wants you to sit on his lap. He's not like this judge who's bothered or annoyed. He's not bothered or annoyed by you. You're not a nuisance to him. Sometimes we feel that way. "God, am I bothering you? Do you really care? Do you really love me?" But he says he's not like this judge. And he will not delay in his answer. He'll give you what you ask for. And he'll give you swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever expecting, ever praying like this widow. And he says, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will I find this kind of undying faith? In other words, is there anybody left on the earth who still believes me? Is there anybody on the earth who still trusts me, will take me at my word? Is there any prayer warriors left on the face of the planet who's ever praying, ever expecting, unwavering, that I'm going to take you at your word and we're going to pray those things in the natural? Is there anybody left on the earth? Will he find that kind of faith and somebody? The kind of faith in James where it talks about when a believing person prays, great things happen. It's the kind of faith he's looking for. Elijah had kind of a crazy faith, you could call it. He believed God and he saw great things for God. He did great things for God. He prayed and the rain stopped for 3.5 years, and he prayed again and the rain continued and rained on the crop. Elijah was a powerful prophet and he called fire down from heaven. And oftentimes we can kind of elevate people in the Bible and believers and Christians and think I can't do that or I don't have the ability, but we have the same ability and access to God, even more in the new covenant today. He did great things, but you can do great things too. Your prayers are powerful and effective when you believe. Oftentimes we elevate people, it's like, I don't think I can do that, but God says, yes, you can, because your prayers are powerful and effective. And it says he was just a man, human, just like us. In other words, what is the difference? The difference is he believed. He trusted. He was persistent. He was expecting. And he moved in faith, and he took that word and put it into action. And I just want to give a couple things about Elijah, what made him a powerful man of prayer. The first thing about Elijah that made him a powerful man of prayer is he prayed the word. He didn't pray whatever just came to his heart, but he prayed what God had already said. In James 5, it's a reference to 1 Kings 17 and 18. He talks about the rain, and the rain is coming. That's the story it's referring to. And God said the rain is coming. He only spoke what God had already said. So when the rain stopped and the rain started, he was already saying what God had already said. He was just agreeing with the word, standing on the word, declaring and speaking the word of God. And for some of us today, we might have some unanswered prayers, but it might require us getting in the word, seeing what the word says, his promises for our life, beginning to declare and speak those promises, standing on the word of God, what he's spoken over my life, what he's spoken over my family. Says, you know what? I'm going to believe it. Even if it's just word, one word, I'm going to declare it and speak it. He prayed the word. Spoke the word. Because a lot of times we take maybe 5 minutes and then we're done. It's like it didn't work. But sometimes there's an element of prayer where you pray and believe and you stand and declare and says, I'm unwavering. I'm not backing off of it. I'm not moving right now, but I'm going to stand on your word and I'm going to speak your word and I'm going to declare your word by faith. And he spoke it in faith. When a believing person prays, great things happen. God moves when you believe. God moves when you put faith on it. And it says in the story that he goes to Ahab. And he begins to talk to him. He's like, Ahab, get your rain boots, get your raincoat, because rain is coming. It's coming. And that's quite the statement, because it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. And Ahab could have been like, you know what? I don't even have a raincoat. We don't even use those things anymore. He could have looked out the windows like, I don't think there's any clouds in the sky. I don't think it's going to happen, Elijah. But he believed the prophet. When Elijah said that, there was no cloud in the sky. There was no indication of rain. There was nothing in the natural that would indicate any evidence that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. But he had one word, and he believed God, and he moved in faith with it. My question is, what do you believe in God for? What word are you standing on today, believing God for in your life? Elijah had one word that he believed, and he moved in faith. And he spoke in faith. Faith speaks. He told somebody. Yes. He told Ahab. That's how you know he's in faith. He told somebody. And you read on and you see that Elijah, he begins to pray. And he kind of gets in an interesting prayer posture. Kind of bends his knees and down to the ground and puts his head between his knees. It's something kind of like this, if I can do this here. He kind of got down like this. And that's an interesting posture. We see a lot of people pray on their hands and knees in posture. We see a lot of people lay on their face before God. It doesn't make sense to us, but in that time it makes sense because a Jewish woman, when she's about ready to give birth and have a baby, they let gravity do its work. Because today we have technology and advancement. We've got hospital beds. We've got stirrups. We don't have to do that, but they would get in that position and then they would begin to push. So picture the prophet Elijah for just a minute here. He's got a word from God. There's nothing in the natural that gives any evidence that God's going to do what he's said he's going to do. But he gets down and he feels something stirring on the inside of him, something moving on the, and he gets down and he gets in that position. He begins to pray and pray and pray and pray, and he's laboring in prayer. Do you know that your prayers give birth to things? Yes. Sometimes it requires to labor in prayer. I wish we could say a 10-second prayer and be done, but sometimes you've got to push. Sometimes you've got to labor in prayer. There's things that are birthed through your prayer. A lot of the movements today have been birthed through prayer. The things that God wants to do in your life are going to be birthed through prayer. Some of the things through this church is going to be birthed through prayer. And our nation is going to be birthed through prayer. That is where it starts. He was pushing and laboring in prayer. We probably heard the acronym PUSH. It means pray until something happens. You're going to pray and till something happens. He was praying until something happened, till he saw the rain. He heard the rain, but it's not happened yet, but he's pushing and praying and laboring in prayer. A lot of times we'll push until we're tired. We push until we get exhausted. But Elijah was willing to push. The question is, are you willing to push? Are you willing to labor in prayer and not give up and not back up in prayer? Say, you know what? I hear rain. God's going to bring that manifestation, that promise in my life. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to see the fulfillment of that. And the servant, he gets the servant. He tells the servant to go check and see if the rain is coming. And he gets down in position and he begins to pray and labor and prayer. And the servant comes back and says, there's nothing. Don't see anything. So he says, go back again. So he begins to believe and labor in prayer some more. The servant comes back in. Hey, sorry, there's still nothing. He says, go back again. He's still in that posture, praying and laboring and pushing in prayer. And the servant comes back another time and says, hey, I don't want to anger you or disappoint you, but there's still no clouds, still no rain. He's like, go back again. Don't come back until you see any confirmation that God's doing what he said he was going to do. And he's pushing in prayer. And finally, on the seventh time, he comes back and he says, I see something. I'm sure he might have been scared a little bit of Elijah. How is he going to respond to this time? He says, I see a cloud. It's the size of my hand. And Elijah jumps up and he says, rain is coming. It is coming. One little sign. He was such in faith and believing God. Just one little cloud's enough to confirm that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. Sometimes it requires us to push in prayer. The question is, are you willing to push in prayer? Sometimes we give up in prayer. We lose hope and we get disappointed in that arena. We get frustrated. Say, it doesn't work. I'm not going to do it any longer. But the question is, are you willing to push? Because God is able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think in our lives. And I want to be believing God in my life that I'll see that promise manifest in my life. I'm going to take him at his word. Even if it's just one word or two words, I'm going to stand on the word of God and begin to believe and push through prayer. I'm not backing up, God. I hear the rain. It's coming, God. And I will see the rain in my life. You willing to push? We birth things through prayer. Your prayer is powerful and it's effective. And when a believing person prays, great things happen. I'm saying, God, would you stir faith in me once again? Would hope begin to rise in me again? Would I begin to trust you all over again? Would I begin to believe you all over again, God? Maybe some of us grown tired and grown weary and well-doing, but God says, if you don't faint, you're going to reap a harvest in due season. Some of you have a due season that is coming into your life where God's going to step in the middle of your life and do what he said he was going to do. Don't grow weary and well-doing because that due season is coming. The rain is coming in your life if you don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, and know God is faithful. He's faithful. We willing to push? Do we see that promise manifest in our life?